Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, and happy Sabbath. Thank you for joining us this holy Sabbath day. We will be doing this presentation with the Blue Law Ministry. And again, we just want to welcome you. The purpose of this message today is to fit a people for translation. Our focus is on the help message, the three angels message, and also God's last. So I pray that everyone had a blessed week thus far. And again, welcome each and every one of you to the ministry. May God richly bless you today. I pray that you have your Bible, your spirit of prophecy, your pen, and your notebook so that you can take notes. And I just want to welcome Sister Pamela and Sister Leola, and all those that are joining us via the internet, welcome to the study this morning. May God richly bless you. We're going to start with a word of prayer. Amen.
If we can reverently kneel. I'm going to take just a few seconds to allow the Holy Spirit to clear our minds and put it on our minds what it is we should pray for. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we thank you once again for your holy Sabbath day. We thank you for bringing us safely through another week. And Lord, we just want to just thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we spend all week long asking and pleading and begging for things. But today, Father, we just want to pause and give you thanks. Thank you for being our God, our Father. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the beautiful weather that you've given us today. We thank you that you've allowed us to come together today to study your word. We just pray, Father, that everything that we think, everything we say, will be done to your honor and your glory. Now bless us with the presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you send your holy angels to hold back any confusion or any strife that we want to enter into this time that we're offering to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. At this time, we will do our testimonies. If there's anyone on the line who would like to go first to share their testimony, please press 1. I can unmute your line if you have a testimony, and if not, you can mute it until you're ready to speak or to read. So I will go ahead and unmute Sister Pamela's line. Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Amen. Yes, yes. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Do you have a testimony?
Yeah, I had one. Yesterday I had went to the market, and on my way out, I had laid my phone on top of my hood, on top of the car, and I rode for a few minutes. And this lady was out there panhandling, and something say, well, just keep going. Then, no, I said, no, I'm going to give her something. And when she came to the car, she said, Miss, you know your phone on top of your car? And that's the only phone I had that I can use to get on programs like you and with Brother Lindy was in the morning. So that's my testimony, because thank God, because if I would have kept riding, they probably would have fell off and broke.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good. He's worthy to be praised that you were take heed to the Holy Spirit to stop and to bless that lady. And inadvertently, you were blessed too, because, you know, you recognized the phone was on top of the car. And like you said, you need the phone. So praise the Lord. We have Brother Mel and Sister Sandra, myself, and Brother Lemuel here. And anyone else have a testimony within the week or within a couple of days that they would like to share?
I have a testimony. I just want to praise the Lord for giving me the strength and with, organizing my mom now that I'm taking care of her. You know, she requires total care. But yesterday I was able to get out and get a lot accomplished. I was able to plant tomatoes and cucumbers and chard and peppers and a lot of things. I was able to get things accomplished, and it's just great being out in God's nature and in his sun and the beautiful elements that he has for us. So I just want to give God thanks for, making everything work out where I could get those things done.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Sandra, for sharing. It's a blessing, to get out in the garden. I, too, have been blessed to get out in the garden yesterday and Thursday. It was a blessing. It was really fun. I mean, not as the world has fun, but it was fun being out in the garden, watering the plants and just talking to God and commune with him while I'm doing this thing. And I'm hearing the birds chirping. I'm seeing the beautiful flowers. And it's such a blessing because I'm doing my duty and I'm growing food to sustain and to help others. And, it's the time for me to draw closer to God and to just talk to him and be in nature, get the fresh air, the exercise, and just have a wonderful day in the Lord. So I just thank the Lord, too. And I was able to help my neighbor, Sister Sister Vicentia. I told her I'd give her 30 minutes, but I end up being an hour helping her get her garden together. And she was so thankful because she's an older lady. And I told her what I can do in a short time. It'll probably take her a couple hours, and we chuckle and laugh. And
It was a blessing. We pray and we intercede for others, and I help her set her raised bed and help her put transfer her plants into the bed. And again, I thank the Lord for his strength and for his endurance within helping me and helping and being able to help my neighbor. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Brother Mel, do you have a testimony?
Well, I had a good thing happen last week, this past week. The assistant manager at the village market, I've started to make friends with him. He came out to see my place the other day, and such a spiritual man, and he's had some problems, personal problems with his wife and so forth. But we're just having such a beautiful prayer time together. We pray to Anna, and just a wonderful, wonderful Christian man.
Mm-hmm.
And I praise the Lord for him, and I hope I can. I think we're going to be a very good witness to you.
Praise the Lord.
But, I could go on and on, but I'm just really thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for joining us today, Brother Mel. Amen. Praise the Lord. We ought to be witness to others in our community, in our spheres, and wherever we go, we ought to be God's witness and God's ambassadors to others. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, you have a testimony?
My prayer often as I can remember is to be a blessing to someone else. And I told you all about my new neighbor. Well, I love reading the first chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 every day. We'll read that in a little while. It's the instructor that we should read that chapter. But love isn't always smooth. That same neighbor, the Lord kind of caught me off guard with her this week. I've been doing everything I can to help her. She came, she had nothing, no furniture, clothes. I don't know what her situation was. But I've just been helping her, doing everything that I thought that I could possibly do. Gave her my house phone to use for her phone. She's real picky. She's looking for a particular flip phone that they don't have anymore, but she refuses to buy any other phone. I said, okay, you can use my landline because I'm not using it now. But then she wanted to go somewhere a couple of days ago. She asked me in the morning, she said, can you take me here now? I said, no, I can't go right now. I have work to do. And she got upset. She got very upset. And she said, well, I need help. And she and then she said, you just don't care. That one hit my heart like a dagger. And I know I wasn't thinking godly when she said that, but that one hurt. Because I've done everything. I know I've done everything I could to help her. And went out of my way to help her.
Okay.
I've gone out of my way to help her. And I told her, I says, I've done this and I've done that. But you let me do laundry. One thing, all she meant is just one thing. And so I got upset. Shouldn't have. But she caught me off guard. I said, you know what? I'm not doing anything else for you. And I knew that was wrong. So I just left her alone and started talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I know that was wrong, and I know that you're going to fix it. While I was working in the yard, I'm talking to the Lord about her in this situation. And the Lord starts telling me, he says, okay, I'm working on you. I said, well, I know that. He says, but I want to work on her too. I want to work on her. through you. He said, because she's very selfish. He said, but so are you. And she said, here's what I want you to do. There is a bus that she can call to pick her up and take her where she wants to go, and they'll pick her back up when she's done. He said, but what I want you to do is that you go back and you take her where she wants to go now. He said, then you tell her about the bus. Well, that was while I was working. I started to leave yesterday morning. I said, I'm going into town. I'm not going to say anything to her. I get almost up to the end of the road, and the Lord says, go back.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to ignore him. Now, that was the selfishness in me.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke a little loud. He says, go back. And immediately, I had to turn around and go back. And so I picked her up and took her where she had to go. And she says, you know, that bus passed by, and I got the number from that bus.
Mm-hmm.
She said that from out of nowhere. I said, praise the Lord. So we saw both situations at the same time. So, you know, I thank God that he used me to be a blessing to her, especially that one, because that one was spiritual,
mm-hmm.
to get rid of my selfishness and hers at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank God for, you know, the opportunities to be a blessing to someone. Not always easy, but at the end of the day, God solve the situation if we allow him.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord reprove us through others, and it, you know, he has a way of working things out, so for our own good. And like you said, it was for you and for the other person to help her and to also help your build your character and help her and build her character too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so if there's no more testimonies, we will begin shortly.
Redeemed by the blood.
Amen. Amen. We're going to do our song service now. So please join us. The first song will be This Little Light of Mine, page 580. This Little Light of Mine, 580. Amen. 9, 2, 3.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Down in my heart, I'm gonna let it shine. Down in my heart, I'm gonna let it shine. Down in my heart, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Down in Tennessee, I'm gonna let it shine. Down in Tennessee, I'm gonna let it shine. Down in Tennessee, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine. Just gonna let it shine. Ain't gonna make it shine. Just gonna let it shine. Ain't gonna make it shine. Just gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Amen. 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 The second song will be 461. 461. This is the day of rest. Number 461.
Okay, I don't think we know this one. We may have to read this one in the form of a poem.
Amen. So we're gonna read it in the form of a poem. Amen.
Okay. You know this one?
No, I don't. Right. I don't know this one.
Okay, let's read. You read in the form of a poem, you and I, Sister Sandy.
All right.
Will this God be verse one?
Is this a... If somebody else comes, you will be able to get a chair.
Yeah, we got.
Yeah,
we got it. What
is your name again?
Linnea. Linnea.
Emmanuel.
Linnea.
Emmanuel.
This is a day of rest, our failing strength renewed, our weary brain and troubled breast shed thou thy refreshing dew.
This is the day of peace, thy peace our spirit fills. Bid thou the blast of discord cease, the waves of strife be still.
This is a day of prayer, that earth to heaven draw near. Lift up our hearts to seek thee there. Come down to meet us here.
This is the best of days. Send forth thy quickening breath and wake dead souls to love and praise, a vanquisher of death.
Amen.
Amen.
And our opening song is number 577, The Lord is My Light.
Amen.
Amen.
577, The Lord is My Light.
The Lord is my light, and why should I fear by day and by night?
His presence is near.
He is my salvation, and ruin sin. This blessed persuasion, the Spirit bringing.
The Lord is my light, that cloud may arise, stay stronger than sight, lift up to the sky. When Jesus forever in glory does reign, then how can I ever in darkness remain?
The Lord
is my light, He is my
joy and song. By
day and by night, He leads me along. The Lord is my light, He is my song. By day and by night, He leads me along. The Lord is my light, the Lord is my strength. I know in His might I'll conquer and live. Weakness and mercy He covers with power, and welcomed by faith I'm blessed every hour. The Lord is my light, my joy and my song. By day and by night He leads me alone. The Lord is my light, He is my joy and song. By day and by night He leads me alone.
The Lord
is my light, my all and in all. There is no beside, no darkness at all. He is my Redeemer, my Savior and King. With saints and with angels, His praises I'll sing. The Lord is my light, He is my joy and song. By day and by night, He leads me alone. The Lord is my light, He is my joy and song. By day and by night, He leads me alone.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we just want to welcome Brother Monroe. He's joining us today, and we just want to welcome him and say happy Sabbath.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath. Excuse my seat, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And we will now be reciting of the Fourth Commandment. We're going to recite it from memory.
Does everybody know each other? Does you two know each other?
No.
Monroe.
Remember the Sabbath day to
keep
it
holy.
Six days
shall
thy
labor and do all thy work.
But the
seventh
day
is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy
manservant,
nor thy maidservant,
nor thy cattle,
nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth,
the sea and all that is in it, and blessed the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day
and hallowed it.
Amen.
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 We're getting better. We're getting better. Okay, and we have a commentary on that one. Mm-hmm. I'll read it. A special sign, the Sabbath of God. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath, be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. As the Sabbath was a sign that distinguished Israel when they came out of Egypt to enter the earthly Canaan, so it is a sign that now distinguishes God's people as they come out from the world to enter the heavenly rest. The observance of the Sabbath is the means ordained by God of preserving a knowledge of Him and of distinguishing between His loyal subjects and the transgressors of His law. It, the Sabbath, belongs to Christ. Since He made all things, He made the Sabbath. By Him it was set apart as a memorial of the work of creation. It points to Him as both the Creator and the Sanctifier. it declares that he who created all things in heaven and in earth, and by whom all things hold together, is the head of the church, and that by his power we are reconciled to God. Well, speaking of Israel, he said, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them, make them holy. Then the Sabbath is a sign of Christ's power to make us holy. It is given to all whom Christ makes holy. As a sign of his sanctifying power, the Sabbath is given to all who through Christ become a part of the Israel of God. To all who receive the Sabbath as a sign of Christ's creative and redeeming power, it will be a delight. Seeing Christ in it, they delight themselves in him. The Sabbath points them to the work of creation as an evidence of his mighty power in redemption. While it is called to mind the lost peace of Eden, it tells of peace restored through the Savior. And every object in nature repeats his invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. The Sabbath is a golden clasp that unites God and his people. Let's take from the devotional book, The Faith I Live By, January 27. Mm-hmm. Amen. To the reading.
Amen.
And now we'll have the reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Amen. And each one take a verse reading, and I will open the line for Sister Leola and Sister Pamela. We're reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And would you like to start?
We should each read one verse.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I may become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing.
Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up.
Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil.
Okay, Sister Pamela, if you can do 6, and Sister Leola, verse 7.
Amen.
Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth.
Bear it all things, believe it all things, hope all things, endure it all things.
Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
Amen. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
But when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away.
When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
And now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even, as also I am known.
All together.
And now abide these three, charity, but the greatest of these is charity.
Amen.
Reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We have a supporting scripture on that one.
Amen. John chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. Would you like to read it?
The whole thing, or verse 1? I mean,
yes,
verse 14?
The whole thing.
Verse 14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can read out that commentary for us.
Okay. How can we understand God? How are we to know our Father? We are called him by the endearing name of Father. And how are we to know him and the power of his love? It is through diligent search of the scriptures. We cannot appreciate God unless we take into the soul the great plan of redemption. We want to know all about these grand problems of the soul, of the redemption of the fallen race. It is a wonderful thing that altered man had violated the law of God and separated himself from God, was a divorce, as it were, from God that altered all this. There was a plan whereby man should not perish, but that he should have everlasting life. God gave his only begotten Son to die for us. When our minds are constantly dwelling upon the matchless love of God to the fallen race, we begin to know God, to become acquainted with him. Right here on this little atom of a world were enacted the grandest scenes that were ever known to humanity. All the universe of heaven was looking on with intense interest. Why? The great battle was to be fought between the power of darkness and the prince of light. Satan's work was to magnify his power constantly. He was all the time placing God in a false light. He was presenting him as a God of injustice and not a God of mercy. He was constantly stirring up their minds so that they would have an incorrect view of God. How was God to be rightly represented to the world? How was it to be known that he was a God of love, full of mercy, kindness, and pity? How was the world to know this? God sent his Son, and he was to represent to the world the character of God. We want to keep this perfect pattern before us. God was so good as to send a representation of himself in his Son, Jesus Christ, and we want to get the mind and heart to unfold and reach upward. Let yours be the prayer, reveal thyself to me, that in thy matchless grace I may lay hold on the golden link, Christ which has been let down from heaven to earth, that I may grasp it and be drawn upward.
Amen.
H.P. In heavenly places, genuine gifts.
Amen.
Okay, and this is still all related to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read this as a reminder. She says, read this chapter every day. The Lord desires to call the attention of his people to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Read this chapter every day, and from it obtain comfort and strength. Learn from it the value that God places on sanctified, heaven-born love, and let the lesson that it teaches come home to your heart. Learn that Christ-like love is of heavenly birth, and that without it, all other qualifications are worthless. An expression of obedience. In the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul defines true Christ-like love. This chapter is an expression of the obedience of all who love God and keep his commandments. It is brought into action in the life of every true believer. The attribute that Christ appreciates most is man in charity, his charity, which is love. Out of a pure heart, this is the fruit born from the Christian tree. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God.
Amen.
We continue to read this chapter every day. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. The Lord Jesus has said, a new commandment I give unto you, and that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Love is a plant of heavenly origin. Love is a plant of heavenly origin, and if we would have it flourish in our hearts, we must cultivate it daily. Mildness, gentleness, long-suffering, not being easily provoked, bearing all things, enduring all things. These are the fruits upon the precious tree of love. And these readings are taken from Bible Commentary, Volume 6, page 1091, paragraphs 2, 3, 9, and 10. Let me just say that as we read all of this information on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I would encourage everyone to read this chapter every day. If you're not doing it already, read these chapters every day. First of all, because it implants in our hearts a love imperceptibly that we couldn't get otherwise. And as we read, it also teaches us obedience to God's commandments just by reading the chapter every day. That's all God asks. Read it every day and obtain the benefits.
Amen, amen. Is there any comment?
Excuse me. Yes, Brother Lemanuel. I need to know where he was reading, where Spirit of Prophecy say read this chapter every day about the 13th, about what chapter he was saying read every day. Was it 1 John 3?
No, 1 Corinthians what? 13.
Oh, 1 Corinthians.
Chapter
okay,
13. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Now, where is that found in Spirit of Prophecy? Is it in the notes here?
It's all taken from the Bible Commentary. Look at your screen. You should have the entire presentation of your.
Okay. I haven't got I was reading, looking at a lot of this, but I don't know. Is it with the angels on or with
We're doing the health message. It's on the health message.
We on the health. Okay. Okay. Well, I got to get to that one then, because it's a.
Everything we're going to go over, you have it on. You have it. You have the, both presentations. Everything we're going to do.
Okay.
Okay. How to study the Bible for those who weren't here whenever we went over this. He gives instructions on how to study the Bible.
The Word of God is light and truth, a lamp to the feet and a light to the path. It is able to guide every step of the way to the city of God. For this reason, Satan has made desperate efforts to obscure the light, that men may not find and keep the path cast up for the ransom of the Lord to walk in. As the miner digs for the golden treasures in the earth, so earnestly, persistently must we seek for the treasure of God's words. In daily study, the verse-by-verse method is often most helpful. Let the student take one verse and concentrate his mind on ascertaining the thought that God had put into that verse for him, and then dwell upon the thought until it becomes his own. One passage thus studied until its significance becomes clear is of more value than the perusal careful reading of many chapters with no definite purpose in view and no positive instruction gained.
Any thoughts or comments on that?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. The Word of God, I've spoken with numerous people who boast often about reading the entire Bible several times a year. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it several times a year. But my question has always been, what did God read back into your mind as a result of those readings? And this little passage substantiates the fact that one verse absorbed into your conscious might serve you better than reading all day long. That's what I get from what we do.
Brother Mayor, would you like to read the next
Well, no, I just wanted to make a comment what the brother said. You know, my husband have not been in the church, and he's not a really, he's just like a listener. He don't talk too much. But he always told me, he say, honey, you read the Bible all day long. He say, but you're supposed to focus on what you read. So that's exactly what he do. He don't read. He say, honey, I have to get it one at a time. And he closed that book and he pray and he meditate on that. And that's what he do. I say, well, okay, that's how you do it. I don't bother him when he do his studies and how he do his, because, you know, I'm not God. I don't know whether he's doing it right or wrong, but the point what he's making there, that's exactly what I've heard from my husband. So say praise God. You know, I never knew that until he brought it up to me, and now I've heard someone else say it lately, but now you're saying it too. I just want to say praise God. Amen.
Amen.
So we do want to emphasize one point. He was commenting on what the prophetess says, but his comment was actually fitted perfectly with what she said, but it actually comes from our prophetess, Ellen Mike, and it comes from God, from God to her. Mel, can you see? You can hear me?
How to study the Bible. As our physical life is sustained by prayer, so our spiritual life is sustained by the Word of God. And every soul is to receive life from God's Word for himself. As we must eat for ourselves in order to receive nourishment, so we must receive the Word for ourselves. We are not to obtain it merely through the medium of another's mind. We should carefully study the Bible, asking God for the aid of the Holy Spirit, that we may understand his word. We should take one verse and concentrate the mind on the task of ascertaining the thought which God has put in that verse for us. We should dwell upon the thought until it becomes our own. And we know what saith the Lord. That's Desire of Ages, 390, paragraph 4.
Amen. This is all preparation for Bible study.
You know, can I just comment on, is it inappropriate to comment,
No.
I don't want to do that. What he just read said that we need to discover what God's thought was in the verse and then digest that to make God's thoughts our thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. Absolutely. Then you acquire the mind of Christ. You've got the same thought he has.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Amen. And that's exactly what you think. You want to say something, Sister Leo?
Yes. I. You know, the thought came to my mind. All what we have been taught all our life you can't hear me? I say all what we have been taught all our lives has been error. And now what God wants to re-teach us is what we hearing and what we learning. Because even as I've been in the church for 20-something years, I have not read this, and you know, and even if I come across it once, it's but I don't think I read it. But this stuff, what I'm reading now, is God want to retrain our mind. And I'm grateful, you know, by God's grace that we all take hold to it. So that's my comment, is God is so good to be able to have patience and long-suffering to bring this to our mind and to meditate upon it too, brothers and sisters. That is the power. So I just thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, we've got one more, and then we'll get into our study. Sister Sandy, while you stand there, would you mind reading that for us?
Yes. How to study the Bible. Bible, the tree of life to us. Let all bear in mind that the tree of life bears 12 manners of fruit. This represents the spiritual work of our earthly mission. The word of God is to us the tree of life. Every portion of the scripture has its use. In every part of the word is some lesson to be learned. Then learn how to study your Bible. This book is not a heap of odds and ends. It is an educator. Your own thoughts must be called into exercise before you can really benefit by Bible study. Spiritual sinews and muscles must be brought to bear upon the word. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the words of Christ. He will enlighten the mind and guide the research. Letters 3, 1898.
Amen. 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 Now, this one is important to Bible study as well. First thing we need to do is think. Engage our mind to think. Notice what the last slide, what happens as a result. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the words of Christ.
Yeah.
He will enlighten the mind and guide the research.
Amen.
There's an art to studying the Bible. And we are to make the necessary preparations for Bible study.
Yeah.
If we were to do that, we wouldn't have so many errors in false teaching.
Yes. The Bible tells us the Bible is good for teaching, for instruction, for reproof, for correction. Yeah,
it is.
All there, you know.
All
it's our educator.
Okay.
Hold on. Ceciliola?
No, I was just saying amen, what Sister Sandra was saying.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Now, with all that being said, we're ready for our Bible study. And we're still going through the book, Counsels on Diet and Food. We're still in the first chapter, Reasons for Reforming. And our topic for today, our beginning topic, is Responsibility for Life. And we do the question and answer format. We discovered last week that originated in the Garden of Eden. And Adam sinned, of course, asked him three questions. So we did that to cause Adam to think. He already knew the answer. We say that often, but he wanted Adam to think about his situation before he could offer Adam a solution. And so that's the reason we do the question and answer format, so that we can think about what we're getting ready to read, and the reading is going to give us the answer to the question for thought. Right? And our first question for thought, are we responsible for the light God has given to us? Are we responsible for the light God has given to us? And Brother Monique.
At that time, the light of health reform dawned upon us. And since that time, the question have come home every day. Am I practicing true temperance in all things? Is my diet such as will bring me in a position where I can accomplish the greatest amount of good? If we cannot answer these questions in the affirmative, we stand condemned before God, for he will hold us all responsible for the light which has shone up on our path. The time of ignorance God winked at, but as fast as light shines upon us, he requires us to change our health-destroying habits and place ourselves in a right relation to physical law.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That's taken from the Health Reformer, November 1st, 1880, paragraph 18. Mm. Any thoughts or comments on this?
Ignorance is no excuse.
No, it isn't.
He reveals the light to you. Like I was listening to a medical missionary, and she was talking about microwave dangers. And I've known it before, but, you know, just for some reason, for hearing it again, and I know Carla, she would sometimes get on me about the microwave I use, but I went and got my microwave, and it's no longer there.
Amen.
I put it outside. So I'm asking the Lord to continue to give me strength not to bring it back in.
Meet the Lord. So not to be witnessed. Amen.
Amen.
I like the part that as fast as the light shines, we should go We can't procrastinate and put it off. You've got to do it as fast as it makes sense.
I was told that you are responsible. If you've got a library full of these beautiful red books and you don't read them, someone once told me, I'm not quite sure how, when, or why, but they told me that we are responsible for the contents of those books. Now, that's different than being ignorant, not knowing something. That you understand what I'm saying? So my question is, are we, in fact, it's one thing to be ignorant, but are we, in fact, responsible for that which we choose not to learn?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, we're going to be judged accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And we covered that. If we didn't cover that, we're going to cover that as we go through Counsels on Diets and Foods. She says the very same thing. Thank you for the comment. All right, we move right along to our question number two. What are we to do with the light God has given to us? What are we to do with the light that God has given to us? And we got some scriptures that's going to read.
Amen. And Sister Leola, can you read Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And Sister Pamela, can you read Mark chapter 16? Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 16. And I will read Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 5. And Brother Monroe, can you read Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Again, Sister Leola is reading Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Sister Pamela, Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 through 16. And Brother Monroe, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. And I'll read Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 5.
Let me say, as you read your scripture, if you want to make a quick comment on what the scripture, what you got out of the scripture, then we welcome that.
Amen.
Just a brief comment on what you got out of the scripture you read.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 5 reads, "Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. The kings of the to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side." Verse 5, Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be covered unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come upon thee. Amen. So we see that the Gentile, when we receive this light, this understanding from the Lord, the Gentiles shall come to thee. You know, kings and others shall come to thee, because once the Holy Spirit is fall upon us, we will have light to share with the people. And we know we should not be ashamed of the gospel, because it's life. It's light unto those that are in darkness. So we just thank the Lord for his word. But we have to study to show ourselves approved, because as we read, you know, these truths are given to us. But if we don't study them to know them, we won't be able to share them with others. So we have to do our part. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Monroe?
Mm-hmm. Matthew 5:14-16.
Yes.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set up on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
Any quick thoughts on that?
Well, very quickly, when you've got fire tied up in your bosom, the word of God, it can't be suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be hidden. As a matter of fact, if you try to hide it, it will self-destroy you. So that's what I see in that.
Amen. Thank you.
My dear Jeremiah, it's like fire in my bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Sister Leola, Matthew 28:18-20.
Amen. Okay. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
As Christ has spoken,
and we should not fear or be afraid to go and tell people the word of God, but by the Holy Spirit, we should let the Holy Spirit guide us. Because we don't want to go out there as on our own power, because we do know that when we go on our own, Satan is also with men, and it will tear you up, because we don't want to be like the sons of Stephen when they go out there trying to cast out devils and the demons had them cut themselves and tan themselves up. So when Christ tells us to go with him, go with prayer, go when he tell us to go. I just want to thank God for his word. Amen. That's all I want to say.
Amen.
Thank you.
May I comment very quickly
on
that? I really admire these verses here for a variety of reasons, but I like Jesus' model.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't go out preaching people, man, the Sabbath is the right day and Sunday ain't. What Jesus did, his method alone, was Jesus mingled with the people.
Mm-hmm.
He discovered their needs. He met their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Then he beckoned them to follow me. If we would use that model, we'd be a lot more successful.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Sister Pamela, Mark 16:15-16. Mark 16:1-6, verse 15-16.
Okay. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It's saying that the people that know the Bible and know God and the truth and keep the commandments should go out and preach to the world or to people that they meet. Teach them the word of God and not be afraid to teach it to them. And the people that they teach and don't want to believe, and those the ones that won't be saved.
Okay. Amen, my Brother Mel, can you do us the honor of reading the commentary?
Amen. Thank you.
Well, you want me to read the couple of
commentary? Yeah.
The black part.
Go ye into all
can
the
you
world.
Can you please read that the topic loud and clear? Read that topic.
My trouble is the voice is soft.
Just read the topic. Read the topic before you start reading.
Great.
Greatest work in the world. Want me to read that?
Yes.
Going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This God's command to his followers. Not that all are called to be ministers or missionaries in the ordinary sense of the term, but all may be workers with him in giving the glad tidings to their fellow men. To all great or small, learned or ignorant, old or young, the command is given. Upon everyone who knows the truth, for this time rests the responsibility of making it known to others. The servants of Christ are in a great measure responsible for the well-being and the salvation of the world. They are to be co-laborers with God in the work of winning souls to Christ.
We'll pause there. That's a moment. We're going to pause there. We'll talk about this just a little bit, and then I'll ask you to continue. Your thoughts or comments? That's something I heard.
Why did the print get a lot smaller? Okay. It used to be a lot. The whole screen, it used to cover the whole screen.
I dropped it and took it off.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I took it off the slideshow.
I see. That was much better. Thank you.
Yeah. Thoughts or comments on this one?
Yes, brother. I have something here, because it not only that what it says, the Lord blessed me to be able to do some of these things. And I just want to share, because when I had a friend, I mentioned to this friend about the Sabbath before. And so I felt in my heart, it just, tell her if she's ready now. And when I mentioned to her, I said, Betty, I have something I got to tell you concerning the word. She said, okay, go ahead. And so when I mentioned to her, I said, Betty, I said, God has blessed you. I said, all the time, you have come so close to death. I said, but God saved you. I said, Betty, you are here for a reason today. And I said, one reason. I said, don't leave this world without accepting God's word. And so when I told her that, I went over the scriptures with her. And then I told her just this week, that was last week, but I told her, I said, Betty, did you know when you was in the hospital, I was right there by your bedside? I said, been many times I was with you when you got all these things, when all these things happened to you, when your leg was cut off, and she said, you was? I said, oh, yeah. And, I would bring her fruits and stuff and vegetables. She used to like that avocado salad I would make, and she said, you can make that for me, but I talked with her this week, and she more, well, when we was living in the same place, and I moved away from there years ago, but when we was living in the same place, she wasn't ready, she wasn't receptive to the word. But when I talked to her just the other day, she's coming on asking more questions, and she asked me, did I speak in tongues? And so I got the book, prayed with her. I prayed first and prayed and told her, I said, Betty, we're going to go do a little study on tongues. The reason why, inquiring more. And I told her, I said, study your Bible for yourself. I said, because the world is not telling you truth. So the best best thing is get it for yourself. So I just want to give God the praise because he has many out there that are working and co-labors with him. So I just praise God for that. Amen. That's what I would like to share. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Leola. Yes, amen. Yes, and we're continue to comment briefly on what we just read. As I'm rereading it, I'm seeing us as servants of Christ, we are, in large measure, we are responsible for the well-being and the salvation of the world, you know. Amen. And we are to be co-laborers with God in the work of winning souls. And first, the work starts at home, you know, with our family and with our friends, you know, winning them for the kingdom of heaven. And also with our neighbors, our co-workers, even our enemies, we ought to labor for their salvation because they're precious to God. He have created us all for a purpose. And he said all belongs to him. So if we are his representative, we ought to be doing the work that he has started and that we should continue. And it said it doesn't matter how big or small, you know, a little kid or adult, how ignorant, how well schooled you are. We have a soul to reach. We all have a soul to reach. And, you know, and God has put those people in our sphere so that we can reach them. And he said not all are called to be ministers or missionaries. But even the mothers, we are to reach our children, those that have grandchildren and their friends. We have a mission field in this world so that we can reach the lost. So this reading is a blessing.
I have a quick comment as well. I've been involved with other people who felt like the only ones to do ministry are those who go through the schools and get anointed by the brethren. And the rest of us can play some supportive issue, but if without an ordination, you ought not do that. I totally disagree, but I've been involved with people who felt that way.
Yeah.
Very strongly.
Wow.
You know, we find that's far from the truth.
Amen.
When it comes to John the Baptist and especially our Savior, in fact, God didn't send him to the rabbinical schools because it would unfit him.
Amen.
For that. But let's get back to our train of thought. What are we to do with the light that God has given to us?
I was just going to comment on the service of Christ on a large measure responsible. I would say that we're 100% responsible instead of just a large measure responsible.
Kind of takes us back to the beginning. The question that Cain asked, am I my brother's keeper?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is absolutely. So, Neil, if you can continue for us.
The question and the answer.
No, just start. You can start with the thing, or the greatest work in the world.
Okay. The greatest work in the world. The thing that attracts the heart of the sinner is Christ and him crucified. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus stands revealed to the world with unparalleled love. He said him best to the hungry multitudes in the light of Israel will run back to darkness from transgression to obedience and true holiness. Beholding Jesus upon the cross of Calvary arouses the conscience to the heinous wicked character of sin as nothing else can do. Will not our church members keep their eyes fixed on a crucified and risen Savior in whom their hopes of eternal life are centered? This is our message, our argument, our doctrine, our warning to the impenitent, our encouragement for the sorrowing, the hope for every believer. Finish it the same reading.
Okay.
The hope for every
if we can awaken.
What did I leave? Oh, if we can awaken, is that what you want me to say?
Yes.
If we can awaken our interest in men's minds, that will cause men, will cause them to fix their eyes on Christ, we may step aside and ask them only to continue to fix their eyes upon the Lamb of God. He whose eyes are fixed on Jesus will leave all. He will die to selfishness. He will believe in all the word of God, which is so gloriously and wonderfully exalted in Christ. It is our privilege of every Christian. It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For all who profess his name bearing fruit to his glory, how quickly the whole world will be sown with the seed of the gospel. Quickly the last harvest will be ripened, and Christ would come to gather the precious fruit.
Amen.
See, Maranatha.
Mm-hmm. Maranatha, April.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
All right, any quick thoughts on this?
I have a quick question, please.
Sure.
That last paragraph, it says that we can hasten his coming. If we can hasten his coming, can we also delay his coming?
I would say not. Because, because the Lord has an appointed time. He's given 6,000 years.
If he's got an appointed time, how can we hasten it?
I don't know, but we had the great disappointment, and he should have came at that time.
But they
delayed his coming. But now it's no more delay, Monroe. The Lord, in my personal feeling, the Lord, he has his time laid out, and
I can say amen to that. But if I say amen to it, then I'm gonna say if I can't delay it, I can't hasten it either.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that conforms with what we just read. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we need to get out and be doing the
Amen.
Work that he has for us to do.
If we can hasten, let's do it. Amen.
Trying to say so.
I agree.
Let's stick to what the prophet has said.
Okay.
She said we can hasten the
Uh-oh.
Coming. Well, she also said that we have been already been coming. She said in her writing that Christ, we may have to be here many more years.
What she said.
Because we haven't done the work that we need.
Well, we know Christ's first coming is on time.
No doubt.
He was doing the Passover and that 2,300 days was fulfilled. His second coming is also, he has an appointed time for that. But he also say about the elect state.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't come
yeah.
sooner, all flesh, there will be no flesh alive.
Mm-hmm.
So the gist I would say is just get out and do what the Lord has required us to do to
that's
show the world.
Focus. That's what we need to be focused
on.
Reading these things that we're reading.
Yes.
Understanding them.
Yes.
And being praying for the Holy Spirit to give us the power to obey.
Amen.
I'll say a comment, and Sister Leo, I think she has a comment. And that was Mark chapter 13, verse 20. And except that the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh should be saved.
Mm-hmm.
But for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. So the days are shortened. And God is merciful. He's long-suffering. He knows the beginning from the end. Amen. Go ahead, Sister Leola.
All I want to say, the love God has for us is beyond what we can even comprehend. That's all I want to say, the love. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Now, here's the way the spirit of prophecy ties both of those in. He says, when the last person, here's his appointed time,
mm-hmm.
when the last person that he sees have received him, that he know have received him, then he'll come. Only God knows that. When the last person that will receive salvation have accepted salvation, then he'll come. That's his appointed time. But that hasn't happened yet.
Because
the number made up, I understand that a certain number made up.
Absolutely.
You know
what?
Yes.
Brother.
But we don't know that.
Amen. You have a quick comment, Sister Leola, before we move on?
Yes. I wanted to say, Brother I remember when God told Jezebel, he gave her time to repent. And you know what? She didn't repent. Or he gave Satan a time to repent. You know, I always keep that on my heart, my mind. God give us a time to repent. So I don't know that date. Nobody know that time. So all we got to do is quit. Amen?
Amen. Thank you for sharing.
All right, let's move right along to our next question. We're still in the chapter of Counseling on Diets and Food, Reason for Reform, Responsibility for Life. And our question, thought, is health the most precious gift of all temporal possessions? What happens when we abuse it? Is health the most precious gift of all temporal possessions? What happens when we abuse it? All right, let's take a look at this. Health is a treasure. Of all the temporal possessions, it is the most precious. Wealth, learning, and honor are dearly purchased at the loss of the vigor of health. None of these can secure happiness. If health is lacking, it is a terrible sin to abuse the health that God has given us. Such abuses enfeeble us for life and make us losers, even if we gain by such means any amount of education. Now, that's enough to think about, but she adds a little more fuel to the fire. Satan's power, the present enfeebled condition of the human family, has been presented before me. Every generation has been growing weaker, and diseases of every form afflict the race. Thousands of poor mortals are deformed. Sickly bodies, shattered nerves, and gloomy minds are dragging out a miserable existence. Satan's power upon the human family increases. If the Lord were not soon to come and put an end to his cruel work, the world would fare long be depopulated.
Wow.
What's another word for depopulation? Lost.
Absolutely.
Lost. Let's take it from Christian Templar from Bible Hygiene, page 150, paragraph 1 and 2.
It's being depopulated now.
It's being depopulated.
So the elect state, he's cutting it short. Amen.
Okay, and this is all on the point of health, folks. We're talking about health. Let's move right along. Same question. Is health the most precious blessing of all temporal possessions? What happens when we abuse it? We heard it from the prophet. Now let's hear from the prophets from the Bible. We have some scriptures.
Amen. So Sister Leola, could you read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12 through 15? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12 through 15. You're the second reader. And the third reader is Sister Pamela, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 4. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 4. I will read Psalm 103. I will read Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3. And Brother Mel, can you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 through 18?
Monroe's voice, your voices are better.
Okay. Okay. Since Brother Monroe, if you can read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 through 18, and then Brother Lemuel, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Amen. So I will start with Psalms 103.
Yeah,
and start at verse 1 to 3. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So I ought to be thanking the Lord and praising him and blessing him who forgiveth all my sins and who healeth all my disease and all my iniquities. So it's a blessing to praise the Lord for the things that he has done for us, seen and unseen, and the blessing that he has given us, health. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So God wants us to be in health, in spirit, and in soul. In health, in spirit, and in body. Amen.
Okay. Wherefore, it shall come to pass.
Okay. Speak up a little louder, please.
Okay. Wherefore, it shall come to pass. Let me take my probably can't hear. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy father. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruits of thy womb and the fruits of the land, thy corn and thy wine and thy oil, and the increase of thy kind, and the flock of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil disease of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Any quick thought or comments on that scripture? Sister Leola.
Oh, the Lord is telling us to hearken unto his judgment, and the judgment that he give us is our health message. And he said if we would keep it and do them and you know, and listen to his, be obedient to him, he won't put none of those disease that he had put up on Egypt. So I just thank God. I just pray and thank him to help keep me, strengthen me and all of us. Amen.
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 And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of the kin, and the flock of thou sheep. I can't explain this clearly because I don't really understand it. So, but amen to the reason of what I just said.
The last verse, it just explains this. The whole chapter, the first part of the chapter is about God's blessing. And our question once again is health the most precious blessing of all temple possessions? That's what we're addressing. And so God pronounces a blessing for a group who are, I don't want to say the word because that's going to be my commentary, but it's a blessing for obedience and a curse for disobedience.
So to sum it all up, it's a blessing for obedience. Health is a blessing when you're obedient to the health of God.
Amen.
Amen. And if I may say, Psalms chapter 121, it just reminds me of that at the end. It says, that the Lord is our keeper. He's thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day or the moon by night. But he says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forward. So if we lift our eyes up unto the hill, you know, unto the Lord, he's our help, and he will preserve us. He will bless us. He will take care of us. We have nothing to fear if we trust in the Lord. So he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we have to remember that. Amen.
Deuteronomy 28:15-18. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, will I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 16, curses shall be thou in the city, and curses shall be thou in the field. 17, curses shall be thy basket and thy store. Verse 18, curses shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. I've always viewed that series of verses, I call it the if-then principle. If you do this, then I'll do that. If you do this, then I'll do that. And God operates on that principle. And this is classic, the health message. If you comply with the health message, then I will. Amen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Additional.
Amen.
Hebrews, it says, draw near to me, and I will draw
absolutely
near to
you. If you draw near, then I'll draw. Amen.
Amen.
And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. And to sum it all up, all of these verses are telling us that if we're obedient, like Brother Monroe was saying, we get the blessings. If we're disobedient, then the curse is inevitable. God doesn't curse anybody, but if you disobey God, the curse is what you get. But you brought it on yourself.
Question, please.
You said the Lord don't curse anybody.
The prophet says that.
Mm-hmm.
The curse is a consequence of our disobedience. So God doesn't have to do it. You bring it on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That was
my question is, the three verses you just read, it spoke about statutes and judgments. Are the statutes and judgments that should be applicable today that we're ignorant of, or do we have all the statutes and judgments we need to comply with the obedience of God? I mean, that question is weighed on my mind for years.
Disobedience is disobedience.
Okay.
Light is light.
Okay.
The light that we need to come in conformity, compliance with God's will, we've had it for many years. If you want to compare it to Israel of old, it's the same difference. There's no difference than what they were supposed to be obedient to. In fact, it may be a little bit of a difference because the white says that we have been given more light than any other generation since God's coming. So we are more responsible for it.
Now, brother, I have a question on that. Because God wants us to be...
Hold on,
Hold on, Sister Leola. Hold on. Go ahead.
Okay, I hear you.
Well, the Lord says that he will spew us out of his mouth, you know. That's cursing, isn't it? That's cursing. Same thing.
Well, how is he going to do it? Well, I mean, why is, how, why is he going to do it?
Well, he's going to do it because he's going to lay the seed, you know.
Who made us learn able to see
that? Well, the devil in the mission. It's our choice.
Yeah, it's our choice, yeah. And so once again, when God gives a condition and we make the bad choice, there's nothing God can do. We can't stop it because it's the Lord and bring it. You bring it first.
I've heard hearing out of his mouth mean that I guess he's not intercede on her, our behalf. He's not confessing our sin. It's not, you know, it's not coming out. It's like a rejection feeling. I don't think it's a curse, but it's like, I guess I would say, this might be wrong. I'm praying for this one, but I'm not praying for this person because they cursed God or whatever they did, and they said, don't pray for me, don't intercede, but others say, okay, pray for me. So it's like, I don't know. I might be wrong.
It's an action on God's part when he spews us out of his mouth.
We may or may not get to that. I'm not sure, but we won't spend a lot of time trying to dissect what that means in this particular section.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Sister Leo. Quickly, go ahead. Before we move on.
Yes, and I had a question on verse 1 through 6, 1, about the statutes and the judgment, because when I read this and then I go over what God says, statutes and judgments, or I notice that I did not follow them. So my heart been convicted on many of them. You know, the Bible says the statutes and judgments covers the commandments. The commandments is what God wrote. But if you look at the statutes and judgment, it also got some things in there that the Bible says that a woman should not put on nothing pertaining to a man. And also it talks about that a person shouldn't lie with a beast. And we don't teach these things to the world. And the world is lacking these things because they have did away with the statutes, and which I read in the Council of the Catholics, what they write. They say, we have taken away your statutes and judgment and your holidays and all this. So I began to say, Lord, help me to follow your statutes and judgment. Because when I look at it, because as we are here listening, God wants to come back for a people that's prepared. Now, if Sister Leola is get up in the Sabbath morning and put our pants on instead of dressing for the Lord according to what he want me to do, or any day. So I decided to say, okay, Lord, help me in these things, because it's some things I have to change if I really want you to save me. So that's what I had a question too about the statutes and judgment. So, but you know what? I don't force this on nobody else. I work with it and I try to do what and practice it myself. But since it came up, I wanted to ask the question also. Amen.
You mentioned a couple of things, Sister Leola. Well, you stay tuned. You say God's people are not teaching it. We've got a series coming up, Revival, Reformation, and Restoration, and we're going to cover all the reforms in that.
Praise the Lord.
Stay tuned. Yeah, we got a lot to cover. We're going all the way back to the beginning. He's going to bring us up to date as to where God would have his people to be. Between our health state and the community of the State Church, God has instructed us to bring his people up to where they need to be, because he is not going to wait much longer.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. That's why I am here to, you know, because as you speaking of health and all this I'm learning, this God giving me a chance, again, this chance here to reform me. And now if I don't take heed to this, now I'm going to be sealed with my own way. So thank you for giving me that information. Amen. I'm done.
Amen.
Should have taken a break, but now we won't be done until
okay. Can we pause just for a minute? I want to pass something out.
Just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a song. Amen. We'll read this last commentary, and we're going to take a break, a 15 minutes break.
Yeah. A question once again, is health the most precious blessing of all temporal possessions? What happens when we abuse it? Can you read that for me?
Yes, sir. In this scripture, we are taught that obedience to God's requirements brings the obedience under the laws that control the physical being. Those who would preserve themselves in health must bring into subjection all appetites and passions. They must not indulge lustful passion and intemperate appetite, for they are to remain under control to God, and their physical, mental, and moral powers are to be so wisely employed that the bodily mechanism will remain in good working order. Health, life, and happiness are the results of obedience to physical laws governing our bodies. If our will and our way are in accordance with God's will and way, if we do the pleasure of our Creator, He will keep the human organism in good condition and restore moral, mental, and physical powers in order that He may work through us to His glory. Constantly, His restoring power is manifested in our bodies. If we cooperate with Him in this work, health and happiness, peace and usefulness are the sure results.
Mm-hmm. Let's take it from manuscript 151. 1901, paragraph 36.
That last sentence, that next to the last sentence, it says, He will keep the human organism in good condition and restore the moral, mental, and physical powers. God will keep us, and God will bring about help. That has passed over my head all my life. I'm coming up on 73 years of age. I see now that if we do this, God will keep this body. And I've been so sick, cancer 7 times, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm seeing now I've been in violation or God would have been keeping me. My.
And the word restore. That's
absolutely.
Amen, amen. If no more comments, we're going to take a 15-minute break, brothers and sisters, to refresh ourselves, drink some water, whatever we need to do. And I'll just pray, play something, and we're just going to take a short break. Thank you.
The true motive in service. Take heed that ye do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them. The words of Christ on the Mount were an expression of that which had been the unspoken teaching of his life, but which the people had failed to comprehend. They could not understand how, having such great power, he neglected to use it in securing what they regarded as the chief good. Their spirit and motives and methods were the opposite of his. While they claimed to be very jealous for the honor of the law, self-glory was the real object which they sought. And Christ would make it manifest to them that the lover of self is a transgressor of the law. But the principles cherished by the Pharisees are such as are characteristic of humanity in all ages. The spirit of Phariseeism is the spirit of human nature. And as the Savior showed the contrast between his own spirit and methods and those of the rabbis, his teaching is equally applicable to the people of all time. In the days of Christ, the Pharisees were continually trying to earn the favor of heaven in order to secure the worldly honor and prosperity which they regarded as a reward of virtue. At the same time, they paraded their acts of charity before the people in order to attract their attention and gain a reputation for sanctity. Jesus rebuked their ostentation, declaring that God does not recognize such service, and that the flattery and admiration of the people which they so eagerly sought was the only reward they would ever receive. When thou doest alms, he said, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. In these words, Jesus does not teach that acts of kindness should always be kept secret. Paul the Apostle, writing by the Holy Spirit, did not conceal the generous self-sacrifice of the Macedonian Christians, but told of the grace that Christ had wrought in them, and thus others were imbued with the same Spirit. He also wrote to the church at Corinth and said, your zeal hath stirred up very many. Christ's own words should make his meaning plain, that in acts of charity the aim should not be to secure praise and honor from men. Real godliness never prompts an effort at display. Those who desire words of praise and flattery and feed upon them as a sweet morsel are Christians in name only. By their good works, Christ's followers are to bring glory not to themselves, but to him through whose grace and power they have wrought. It is through the Holy Spirit that every good work is accomplished, and the Spirit is given to glorify not the receiver, but the giver. When the light of Christ is shining in the soul, the lips will be filled with praise and thanksgiving to God. Your prayers, your performance of duty, your benevolence, your self-denial will not be the theme of your thought or conversation. Jesus will be magnified, self will be hidden, and Christ will appear as all in all. We are to give in sincerity, not to make a show of our good deeds, but from pity and love to the suffering ones. Sincerity of purpose, real kindness of heart, is a motive that heaven values. The soul that is sincere in its love, wholehearted in its devotion, God regards as more precious than the golden wedge of Ophir. His, not mine, are the gifts, and only so far can I make them mine as in giving I add my heart to whatever is given. We are not to think of reward, but of service. Yet kindness shown in this spirit will not fail of its recompense. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. While it is true that God himself is a great reward that embraces every other, the soul receives and enjoys him only as it becomes assimilated to him in character. Only like can appreciate like. It is as we give ourselves to God for the service of humanity that he gives himself to us. No one can give place in his own heart and life for the stream of God's blessing to flow to others without receiving in himself a rich reward. The hillsides and plains that furnish a channel for the mountain streams to reach the sea suffer no loss thereby. That which they give is repaid a hundredfold, for the stream that goes singing on its way leaves behind its gift of verdure and fruitfulness. The grass on its banks is a fresher green, the trees have a richer verdure, the flowers are more abundant. When the earth lies bare and brown under the summer's parching heat, a line of verdure marks the river's course, and the plain that opened her bosom to bear the mountain's treasure to the sea is clothed with freshness and beauty, a witness to the recompense that God's grace imparts to all who give themselves as a channel for its outflow to the world. This is the blessing of those who show mercy to the poor. The prophet Isaiah says, "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." The work of beneficence is twice blessed. While he that gives to the needy blesses others, he himself is blessed in a still greater degree. The grace of Christ in the soul is developing traits of character that are the opposite of selfishness, traits that will refine, ennoble, and enrich the life. Acts of kindness performed in secret will bind hearts together and will draw them closer to the heart of him from whom every generous impulse springs. The little attentions, the small acts of love and self-sacrifice that flow out from the life as quietly as the fragrance from a flower, these constitute no small share of the blessings and happiness of life. And it will be found at last that the denial of self for the good and happiness of others, however humble and uncommended here, is recognized in heaven as the token of our union with him, the King of Glory, who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. The deeds of kindness may have been done in secret, but the result upon the character of the doer cannot be hidden. If we work with wholehearted interest as a follower of Christ, the heart will be in close sympathy with God, and the Spirit of God moving upon our spirit will call forth the sacred harmonies of the soul in answer to the divine touch. He who gives increased talents to those who have made a wise improvement of the gifts entrusted to them is pleased to acknowledge the service of his believing people in the Beloved, through whose grace and strength they have wrought. Those who have sought for the development and perfection of Christian character by exercising their faculties in good works will, in the world to come, reap that which they have sown. The work begun upon earth will reach its consummation in that higher and holier life to endure throughout eternity. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. The Pharisees had stated hours for prayer, and when, as often came to pass, they were abroad at the appointed time, they would pause wherever they might be, perhaps in the street or the marketplace, amid the hurrying throngs of men, and there in a loud voice rehearse their formal prayers. Such worship, offered merely for self-glorification, called forth unsparing rebuke from Jesus. He did not, however, discountenance public prayer, for he himself prayed with his disciples and in the presence of the multitude. But he teaches that private prayer is not to be made public. In secret devotion, our prayers are to reach the ears of none but the prayer-hearing God. No curious ear is to receive the burden of such petitions. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Have a place for secret prayer. Jesus had select places for communion with God, and so should we. We need often to retire to some spot, however humble, where we can be alone with God. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. In the name of Jesus we may come into God's presence with the confidence of a child. No man is needed to act as a mediator. Through Jesus we may open our hearts to God as to one who knows and loves us. In the secret place of prayer, where no eye but God's can see, no ear but His can hear, we may pour out our most hidden desires and longings to the Father of infinite pity, and in the hush and silence of the soul, that voice which never fails to answer the cry of human need will speak to our hearts. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He waits with unwearied love to hear the confessions of the wayward and to accept their penitence. He watches for some return of gratitude from us as a mother watches for the smile of recognition from her beloved child. He would have us understand how earnestly and tenderly His heart yearns over us. He invites us to take our trials to His sympathy, our sorrows to His love, our wounds to His healing, our weakness to His strength, our emptiness to His fullness. Never has one been disappointed who came unto Him. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. O dull of heart, enclosed doth lie in each, come Lord, a here am I. Thy love, thy longings are not thine, reflections of a love divine. Thy very prayer to thee was given, itself a messenger from heaven. Those who seek God in secret, telling the Lord their needs and pleading for help, will not plead in vain. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, Himself shall reward thee openly. As we make Christ our daily companion, we shall feel that the powers of an unseen world are all around us, and by looking unto Jesus, we shall become assimilated to His image. By beholding, we become changed. The character is softened, refined, and ennobled for the heavenly kingdom. The sure result of our intercourse and fellowship with our Lord will be to increase piety, purity, and fervor. There will be a growing intelligence in prayer. We are receiving a divine education, and this is illustrated in a life of diligence and zeal. The soul that turns to God for its help, its support, its power, by daily earnest prayer, will have noble aspirations, clear perceptions of truth and duty, lofty purposes of action, and a continual hungering and thirsting after righteousness. By maintaining a connection with God, we shall be enabled to diffuse to others through our association with them the light, the peace, the serenity that rule in our hearts. The strength acquired in prayer to God, united with persevering effort in training the mind in thoughtfulness and caretaking, prepares one for daily duties and keeps the spirit in peace under all circumstances. If we draw near to God, He will put a word in our mouth to speak for Him, even praise unto His name. He will teach us a strain from the song of the angels, even thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father. In every act of life, the light and love of an indwelling Savior will be revealed. Outward troubles cannot reach the life that is lived by faith in the Son of God. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. The heathen looked upon their prayers as having in themselves merit to atone for sin. Hence the longer the prayer, the greater the merit. If they could become holy by their own efforts, they would have something in themselves in which to rejoice, some ground for boasting. This idea of prayer is an outworking of the principle of self-expiation, which lies at the foundation of all systems of false religion. The Pharisees had adopted this pagan idea of prayer, and it is by no means extinct in our day, even among those who profess to be Christians. The repetition of set customary phrases when the heart feels no need of God is of the same character as the vain repetitions of the heathen. Prayer is not an expiation for sin. It has no virtue or merit of itself. All the flowery words at our command is not equivalent to one holy desire. The most eloquent prayers are but idle words if they do not express the true sentiments of the heart. But the prayer that comes from an earnest heart, when the simple wants of the soul are expressed, as we would ask an earthly friend for a favor, expecting it to be granted, this is the prayer of faith. God does not desire our ceremonial compliments, but the unspoken cry of the broken heart, and subdued with a sense of its sin and utter weakness, finds its way to the Father of all mercy. When ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. The fasting which the Word of God enjoins is something more than a form. It does not consist merely in refusing food, in wearing sackcloth, in sprinkling ashes upon the head. He who fasts in real sorrow for sin will never court display. The object of the fast which God calls upon us to keep is not to afflict the body for the sin of the soul, but to aid us in perceiving the grievous character of sin, in humbling the heart before God, and receiving His pardoning grace. His command to Israel was, "Rend your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God." It will avail nothing for us to do penance or to flatter ourselves that by our own works we shall merit or purchase an inheritance among the saints. When the question was asked Christ, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" He answered, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent." Repentance is turning from self to Christ. And when we receive Christ, so that through faith He can live His life in us, good works will be manifest. Jesus said, "When thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret." Whatever is done to the glory of God is to be done with cheerfulness, not with sadness and gloom. There is nothing gloomy in the religion of Jesus. If Christians give the impression by a mournful attitude that they have been disappointed in their Lord, they misrepresent His character and put arguments into the mouth of His enemies. Though in words they may claim God as their Father, yet in gloom and sorrow they present to the world the aspect of orphans. Christ desires us to make His service appear attractive as it really is. Let the self-denials and the secret heart trials be revealed to the compassionate Savior. Let the burdens be left at the foot of the cross, and go on your way rejoicing in His love who first loved you. Men may never know of the work going on secretly between the soul and God, but the result of the Spirit's work upon the heart will be manifest to all. For he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Treasures laid up on earth will not endure. Thieves break through and steal. Moth and rust corrupt. Fire and storm sweep away your possessions. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Treasure laid up on earth will engross the mind to the exclusion of heavenly things. The love of money was the ruling passion in the Jewish age. Worldliness usurped the place of God and religion in the soul. So it is now. Avaricious greed for wealth exerts such a fascinating, bewitching influence over the life that it results in perverting the nobility and corrupting the humanity of men until they are drowned in perdition. The service of Satan is full of care, perplexity, and wearing labor, and the treasure men toil to accumulate on earth is only for a season. Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The instruction is to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It is for your own interest to secure heavenly riches. These alone of all that you possess are really yours. The treasure laid up in heaven is imperishable. No fire or flood can destroy it. No thief despoil it. No moth or rust corrupt it, for it is in the keeping of God. This treasure, which Christ esteems as precious above all estimate, is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The disciples of Christ are called his jewels, his precious and peculiar treasure. He says, "They shall be as the stones of a crown. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." Christ looks upon his people in their purity and perfection as the reward of all his sufferings, his humiliation and his love, and the supplement of his glory. Christ, the great center from whom radiates all glory. And we are permitted to unite with him in the great work of redemption and to be sharers with him in the riches which his death and suffering have won. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonian Christians, "What is our hope or joy or crown of
a minute. Let's call. Have y'all joined in yet?
Sister Pamela on the line.
Sister Cole, are we getting ready to start?
Oh, I was on mute.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Sister Leola, if you can read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. And Sister Pamela, if you can read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 through 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. I'm sorry, I was on mute. Forgive me for that. And I will read Romans chapter 7, verse 22 through 25.
Excuse me. Can you tell 2 Corinthians, what was it?
Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 through 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. So, it, you know, it ties right into 2 Corinthians 7, 1. You got it?
Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 verse.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 through 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Okay, it's just three verses, but yes, so I will go ahead and read Romans chapter 7, verse 22 through 25, and it reads, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So we see there's a struggle, there's a fight there within the spiritual and the physical, you know, and also Romans 8:1, it talks about we should crucify, you know, we should die to the flesh and we should live to the spirit. So we have to bring into captivity the law of sin, so that our members can be used for righteousness and to serve God. So we all have a work to do. And as he said, oh, wretched man, Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? And we know only the Lord Jesus can deliver us from that sinful, wretched man that and woman that we are.
Amen.
Amen. So, Sister Leola, Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, that is your verse.
Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. Sister Pamela?
Yes. Chapter 7, verse 1.
Chapter 6, verse 17.
Huh?
Start at chapter 6, verse 17, and keep going until you get to 7:1.
I'm getting kind of confused. Say that again. Which chapter I'm reading?
Okay. Second Corinthians chapter 6, and you're going to read verse 17, verse 18, and then go on to the next chapter and read verse 1. You're reading three verses.
Okay. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separated, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, we prefer holiness and the fear of God. Amen.
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 The male is going to read 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not matter that we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
Amen. Amen. That's what all food will do for you.
Yeah.
You were quoting.
Yeah.
Very good. Let's focus on sons and daughters for a second. Sons of God. Of course, being then daughters of God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Can any human dignity equal this? What higher position can we occupy than to be called the sons and daughters of the infinite God? What a stupendous thought. What unheard of condescension. What amazing love. That the finite man may be allied to the omnipotent. To them gave the power to become the sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. 1 John chapter 1, verse 12. Beloved, now we are the sons and daughters of God. Can any worldly honor equal this?
No.
Let us represent the Christian life as it really is. Let us make the way cheerful, inviting, interesting. We can do this if we will. We may fill our own minds with vivid pictures of spiritual and eternal things, and in so doing, help to make them a reality to other minds. Faith sees Jesus standing at
as our mediator at the right hand of God. Faith beholds the mansions he has gone to prepare for those who love him. Faith sees the robe and crown all prepared for the overcomer. Faith hears the songs of the redeemed and brings eternal glories near. We must come close to Jesus in loving obedience if we would see the King in his beauty. To have fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, is to be ennobled and elevated and made a partaker of joys unspeakable and full of glory. Food, clothing, station, and wealth may have their value, but to have a connection with God and to be a partaker of his divine nature is of priceless value.
Amen, yeah.
Our life should be hid with God, with Christ in God.
Yeah.
And although it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Yes.
The pricely dignity of the Christian character will shine forth as the sun, and the beams of light from the face of Christ will be reflected upon those who have purified themselves, even as he is pure. The privilege of becoming sons and daughters of God is cheaply purchased, even as the sacrifice of everything we possess, be it life itself. Taken from Amazing God's Amazing Grace, November 29th. Now that's worth meditating on whenever we call ourselves sons or daughters of God. And ought to get rid of the worldliness or the earthliness, we're not of this world. There's many gone before us that have given their lives. Apostle Paul being one of them.
The First Corinthians 13 says, "Do I give my body to be burned and have no charity for nothing?" So there would be many who would sacrifice their lives and should not be saved. I guess
she said that. She said that. She said there'll be many more that will be lost.
Can you guys hear? Did you guys hear Brother Mel comment?
I heard.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Yes, that was profound. And I was, just looking at 1 Corinthians 13 again. Amen. Wow.
It was still under the topic, an offering without blemish. Question, what kind of sacrifice does God require of our bodies? What kind of sacrifice does God require of our bodies? And I'll go ahead and read the commentary. God requires the body to be rendered a living sacrifice to him, not a dead or a dying sacrifice. The offering of the ancient Hebrews were to be without blemish, and will it be pleasing to God to accept a human offering that is filled with disease and corruption? Let me read that again. The offering of the ancient Hebrews were to be without blemish and will be pleasing to God. And will it be pleasing to God to accept a human offering that is filled with disease and corruption? Isn't that something? Now, they had to offer perfect animals.
Right.
Would God accept an imperfect human?
Filled with disease and corruption.
No. Filled with disease and corruption.
No, he will not.
He will not. He cannot. Wow. He tells us that our bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he requires us to take care of this temple, that it may be fit habitation for his spirit. The Apostle Paul gives us this admonition. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All should be very careful to
to preserve the body in the best condition of health, that they may render to God perfect service and do their duty in the family and in society.
Mm-hmm.
Taken from Councils on Health, page 221, 1890.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some scriptures. And then we have another spirit of prophecy.
Amen. Our scripture, Sister Leola, if you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay. And Sister Pamela, if you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. And I will read Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Brother Mel, Numbers 19, 1 through 2. Numbers 19, 1 through 2. And whatever, Brother Mel is, he memorized a lot of scripture verse, so we just thank the Lord for that, and we ought to come up to that state too, that we're able to memorize, and he knows a lot of the verse, the whole chapters. So I just thank the Lord for that.
Let me read the question. This is a slightly different question, but it's pertaining to the same thing. What does our offering of eating and drinking have to do with sanctification? What does our offering of eating and drinking have to do with sanctification? Let's see about that.
Amen. So Numbers 19, verse 1 and 2.
And the Lord spake unto Moses. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. Oh, that was just 1 and 2. I read 3 also.
Yeah, that's fine.
Amen.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwell in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
If any comments, go ahead and say state your comment. If not, we will go to the next reader. Sister Pamela?
Yes. Comment is this body, Christ had paid a price for, and so he want us to keep it according to his will. As we just read, we have to take care of it, and so his spirit can dwell in it. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I do want to make a quick comment on scripture she read. Now, we talked about God cursing people, God destroying people. He said this body he'll destroy. Well, he will destroy that particular body in hell's fire. Now, that's worth thinking about. If we destroy these bodies, in hell's fire is where we're going. That's what he's saying. According to what Paul is saying, if we destroy these bodies, God will destroy us. There's only one time that God is going to destroy people, and that's hell's fire.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it real.
Yep. I agree with that, brother. I've always quoted that to myself. Amen.
Sister Pamela,
oh,
go ahead.
She may be muted out.
Oh.
Sister Pamela, we can't hear you. If you're, check see if you're on mute.
Oh,
if you mute
okay.
on your end.
I got it. I'm sorry.
What That's okay.
He not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That means you're supposed to watch what you eat, what you drink, what you put inside your body. And some foods will destroy it, and some drinks. You're not smoking, alcohol.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that, because our bodies are not chimney. We shouldn't be smoking, and we shouldn't be eating and drinking together. We should either drink first and wait 30 minutes and then eat, or eat and then wait like about an hour or so and then drink. It shouldn't be done at together. So thank you for sharing that. And my scripture is Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So our reasonable service is to present our body, which belongs to Christ by creation and redemption. We're supposed to presented to him a living sacrifice. So it's not a dead sacrifice by what we eat and what we put in it, dead meat and dead things that are dead, but we're supposed to put things in it that are living, so we can be living beings, and we can, our faculty will be come alive, and we will be so energetic, and even in appearance and in our body. So God is so merciful, and I just thank him for his goodness. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to read the question again, and then Sister Sandra, can you read the commentary? All right. What does our offering of eating and drinking have to do with sanctification? I want to focus on that. Sister Sandra.
It is impossible for any to enjoy the blessings of sanctification while they are selfish and gluttonous. These groan under a burden of infirmities because of wrong habits of eating and drinking, which do violence to the laws of life and health. Many are enfeebling their digestive organs by indulging perverted appetites. The power of the human constitution to resist the abuse put upon it is wonderful. Persistent wrong habits and excessive eating and drinking will enfeeble every function of the body. Let these feeble ones consider what they might have been had they lived temperately and promoted health instead of abusing it. In the gratification of perverted appetite and passion, even professed Christians cripple nature in her work and lessen physical, mental, and moral power. Some who are doing this claim to be sanctified to God, but such a claim is without foundation. Let us give careful heed to these warnings and reproofs. Though addressed to ancient Israel, they are no less applicable to the people of God today. And we should consider the words of the apostle in which he appealed to his brethren, by the mercies of God, to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is true sanctification. It is not merely a theory, an emotion, or a form of words, but a living, active principle entering into the everyday life. It requires that our habits of eating, drinking, and dressing be such as to secure the preservation of physical, mental, and moral health, and we may present to the Lord our bodies, not an offering corrupted by wrong habits, but a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God.
Amen.
Taken from Councils on Diets and Foods, page 164, paragraph 1 and 3.
Amen.
Amen to fair reading. Sanctification, when that word shows up.
Yeah.
What is sanctification?
Holiness. Holiness.
It is. It is definitely holiness. It is developing the character of Christ.
Obedience.
And we kind of abuse that term when she says sanctification is the work of a lifetime. You know, when you think about that and you think about your perverted diet and appetite, are you being sanctified?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get through sanctification, you'll never be glorified. But mm-hmm. glorification, that's whenever we get to heaven.
Yeah.
Justification is, that's where it begins. Christ gets us started.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us of our sins as though we never sinned, and then the process of sanctification.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you hear people relating that to the sanctuary. Justification is the outer court.
Mm-hmm.
And sanctification is the
holy place.
Holy place, and the most holy place is glorification. Okay.
Yeah, some people say that, well, we won't be glorified till we get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Glorification means the overcoming of sin. I think that we need to think a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because are we going to overcome sin in heaven or here?
Here.
If I die and I'm saved, well, I'm glorified.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be, because I'm fit for heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't made it there yet. But by God's, by through the merits of Christ, I'm glorified in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the theology that is rampant today, saying that we're finished being sanctified in heaven.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah. No,
right.
There's a lot of things that's being taught today that's not true. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're here for today, not to condemn the world or the church. We're here to study and to learn truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's continue. There it is, a pitiful offering.
Mm.
What is our first duty? Well, let's brace ourselves.
Mm.
What is our first duty that we owe to God, ourselves, and our fellow men? And why? What is our first duty that we owe to God, ourselves, and our fellow men, and why? Knowledge must be gained in regards to how to eat and drink and rest so as to preserve health. Sickness is caused by violating the laws of health. It is the result of violating nature's law. Our first duty, one which we owe to God, to ourselves, and to our fellow men, is to obey the laws of God, which include the laws of health.
Mm-hmm.
If we are sick, we impose a weary tax upon our friends and unfit ourselves for discharging our duties to our families and to our neighbors. And when premature death is the result of our violation of nature's law, we bring sorrow and suffering to others. We deprive our neighbors of the help we ought to render them in living. We rob our families of the comfort and help we might render them, and rob God of the service he claims of us to advance his glory. Then are we not in the worst sense transgressors of God's law?
Mm-hmm.
Taken from Councils on Diets and Foods, page 21. Paragraph 2.
That's a question. It's an important to a lot of people. You can never realize how important that even is. I can understand by the gradual change to a good diet that I can notice a lot of difference in my thinking and.
Mm-hmm.
And my body needs a lot of help, and my thinking also, but as I'm getting older, I
mm-hmm.
so, but anyway, it
experimentally, I know the truth of this.
Amen. What a testimony. We need more testimonies of people who are conscious of their health and have lived it and can relate it to the benefits, especially the clearing of the mind.
Yes,
because
that's how God's Holy Spirit communicates.
The only way.
Yes, the only way.
And it says, and when premature death is the result of our violation of God's law, we bring sorrow and suffering to others. And then the Bible say, why should you die before our time?
Yeah.
Sometimes we go into early grave because of the disease or because of our lifestyle. You know, people get killed and shot and whatever, you know, so all of these things are a violation.
Premature,
All right, we might get through this. We continue with a pitiful offering. We've got scriptures to help us out.
Okay. Brother Mel, if you can read Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 through 40, Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 through 40. Sister Leola, if you can read Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 to 9, Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. And Sister Pamela, if you can read 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And I will read Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10. So Brother Mel will read Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 through 40.
Question once again for expressing our minds. What is our first duty that we owe to God, ourselves, and our fellow men and wives?
Amen.
Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Amen. Only one principle there, and the principle of love. Amen.
Amen. Sister Leola? Genesis 4, verse 3 through 9.
She may be muted out.
Check your phone, see if you are on mute.
I am, sorry. 4 through 9. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desires, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. I am my brother's keeper.
Amen.
Amen.
Love
so
No love either. We use that for an example.
Yep.
Yeah, notice me. You going to say something, Sister Leola?
So my comment on this is just to say, Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? We as sisters and brothers, we should, we are our brothers and our sisters' keeper. And when we go to church, our dress should be appropriately. And not only that, and when we speak to one another, we should speak to one another in love, because there's too much going on in the church, not the world, no, in the church, that we have no respect for one another, because we say we are of God, but we know what God says, that many of them that saying they're in the church, he going to say, Lord, Lord. So, but if we are the true representatives of God, we will follow his word, and that being obedience. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that we ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew him, he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother righteous. It's saying, Cain was evil and did bad things, and his brother was a good man, and he killed him because that his brother was a good person, and he cheated God on giving out the 10% that God just asked for, and his brother did not.
That's the part to go after.
10%, yeah.
Amen.
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 We see in the world.
And also,
so fast, even
can I comment? Can I comment on hers, please?
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we see what jealousy would do. Cain knew that Abel pleased God. He knew that he had connection with God, and he got jealous. You know, God tells us to be jealous with him, not of our brothers and sisters. Have that love. He's jealous. He's jealous when we go seeking after other things rather than his word. So, you know, jealousy will bring a lot of bad things towards people when they looking at their sisters and brothers with that type of heart. So I just want to say I thank God that he don't have Sister Leola, the kind of person that just because Sister Carla has beautiful this and beautiful that, whatever she have, God gave it to her, you know. So I should appreciate what God gave her and whomever would he gave, and love her for who she is. She loved God, let me love her. Even if she's not love of God, I'm still supposed to love her. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing. Yes,
amen.
And as we've seen also in Exodus, that, the commandment, the 17th, verse 17, is that we shouldn't cover it, you know. We shouldn't cover it. Our neighbor's house, or thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, you know, their neighbor's husband, and nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, or anything, or his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. So we shouldn't, jealousy is covetousness. So like you said, Sister Leola, we should, we all have gifts and talents, and we also, I guess, celebrate, you know, thank the Lord for the blessing that he has given each of us, and not covet it or be jealous or angry about it, or, you know, envious about it.
Amen.
So I will read.
Amen.
Okay, someone calls, drop.
Okay, the line might drop in a few minutes, but I will read Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth one, he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself. Love worketh no evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law." And that's also in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13. We see love, charity, which is love, and we should not, and this goes back to the commandment too. There is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, in John 3. So in love, the law of God is fulfilled. So we ought to love each other as Christ has loved us, because we can't go to heaven without loving our brothers, without not loving our brothers who we can see, and we don't love Christ who we don't see. That's a false love. That's not right love, you know. So let us learn to love each other in the Lord.
Timothy says that the end of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faithful. I've always loved that.
I think the line has dropped.